Well, it would be nice if I hit the go button. Wait a second, did I hit the go button? Hello and good afternoon, Xbox Nation. Welcome to this week's new episode of X Vlog Live. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL, and you can tell by this big old cheese smile that I just got done playing another, I don't know, three more hours of Starfield. And my God, it is just the game and the gift that keeps giving and giving. And we're gonna spend the next 75 minutes talking about everything Starfield, because why wouldn't we? As Xbox gamers, this is the fanfare that we have been asking for. This is the excitement that we all deserve. And it is, let me tell you something, when the local news and places like CNBC are talking about a video game release, Steel Rain, this is on the level of like a Halo 3. And first of all, who better to bring back here? I mean, this is his house already. Steel Rain, what's going on, brother? You've been enjoying it. We were just talking in the green room about building ships. I want you to throw that out there to the ether, because you kind of set me on a course. Now that I'm interested hearing the way that you did it, how you feeling, man? Welcome.
Well, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen, beautiful people? It is I, and I am him, the one and only Steel Rain, one half of the non-console-centric platform known as Living Split Screen. And look, I think I come through the back door just to bring some live, raw, and uncut opinions, as I normally like to do, maybe some of that RTS perspective that I like to talk about, just pulling myself out of the world, look at the darker crevices in the map. And as someone who, I like to take this from my brother Pong, because he likes to call himself the Halo casual, right? Especially when it comes to talking about these topics. I'm the Starfield noob. I don't have that time in it like that. I don't have this huge and ever-blasting love for Todd Howard or Bethesda. So playing Starfield has been extremely interesting for me. A lot of Mass Effect vibes in there, mainly, especially coming off the Legendary Edition last year. Again, Mass Effect 2 is the greatest game ever made. One of the greatest games ever made, I should say. The trilogy is undeniable, and there's a lot of that feeling in here that I've seen a lot of other people also kind of start pulling those references in, that idea, especially when you just kind of pull yourself back and try not to be overly critical, right? Because it's okay to be critical, but I'm seeing a lot of people be overly critical. It's just kind of,
it's not good when someone does it to be disingenuous.
That's true, but the main thing for me is that there are certain games that are going to be overly criticized just because of the amount of things that they do in them. And no matter what, there wasn't going to be certain people who played this game anywhere or enjoyed it. And I'm surprised that I'm enjoying it. So I'm definitely interested to talk about that with you today, Boom. I appreciate you leaving that back door open, telling me I can get a little sandwich out the fridge. And I'm here to sit down and get ready to get to some conversation, man. Appreciate you.
You know, you mentioned something that's really interesting about people enjoying the game. So we're going to get into it. We're going to be shooting from the hip with this one. There are no real show notes for this. 75 minutes of, like Steel said, raw and uncut opinions about what many people think is probably the best game, not only this generation, it might be the best game, especially when you're into RPGs, in the last decade. This has lore and layer on top of layer that we only see and find in Bethesda games. Now, granted, I take nothing away from CD Projekt Red. They are the masters in their craft. Obviously, The Witcher 3, revered by many as a spectacular game. Their DLC is probably considered even better than the main story, which is great. Cyberpunk, it launched not so great, turned out to be an amazing game. They're going to add an update to it. They got the DLC coming out. But when you consider, Steel, who is playing this game, I want to read a particular tweet. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you that I probably disagree with about 99% of the things that this man says. And that's perfectly fine. I don't think he's a terrible human being. I don't know him. Mm-hmm. But I want to read a tweet from him because he has been, and I say he, I'm talking about David Jaffe. He's been overly critical of Phil Spencer. He's been overly critical of Xbox Game Studios. And he's been overly critical on Xbox as a platform. Well, well, well. let me read Mr. David Jaffe's tweet. Now, again, understand, you mentioned it. He's playing it. He's beating it. But I want to read what he had to say. And again, understand that I'm talking about this not to poke fun at David, because I don't know him and I wouldn't do that anyway. But it just goes to show you that there's a blurred line when it comes to games. When it comes to gaming, it's the game. It's not the platform. It's not the plastic box. It's not the DualSense versus the Xbox Elite. It is the game. Listen to what he had to say. And again, credit to David Jaffe. He brings the receipt. Unlike maybe, let's say, some people from IGN who say that they beat the game and say that they put 70 hours into the game, but we don't know because there's no receipts. Well, David Jaffe not only beat the game, he spent 2 days, 13 hours, and 40 minutes in the game. He's ranked one of five friends that are playing this game. And this is what he had to say about Starfield, Todd Howard, and Bethesda's latest masterclass release. And that's Starfield. I've only completed the main quest. I touched a bit on the side stuff, so who knows, New Game Plus could destroy my sentiments. But at the moment, it is the best single-player game I have ever played, Steel. Everything I was hoping for and more. Mm-hmm. So excited to go live and talk about it tomorrow. Thank you, Bethesda Game Studios, Starfield, and Phil Spencer. This had to be a hell of a boulder to push up the hill, but y'all made a damn classic, and it touched my soul. I'm so appreciative. Later all. I got effing goosebumps reading that. Now, it's the first time I'm reading it. I saw it. I wanted to save my personal opinions and emotions for this. That is a very powerful statement from someone that has, on many occasions, acted as if he was jaded towards gaming. So when you hear this from someone who is, again, I disagree with a lot of the things that Jaffe says. We have different opinions. We can still walk the same path. It's perfectly fine. But when I hear someone like a David Jaffe make a declaration about this, about a game, the way he did just now, it's saying something. I want to get your hot take on this, Steel.
Yeah. So David Jaffe being the overly, I'm not going to say he's overly critical. I think all criticism is valuable, right? The people coming from different walks of life, especially David Jaffe, which is part of the reason that I like to talk to him, although he's lewd and can be over the top. And he also has other little things that he also talks about all the time. If you actually tune into his content to understand who he is. And again, I don't excuse him for anything, because nobody gets an excuse. If you put yourself on the internet on an open platform, you have conversations, then anything that you say is allowed to be critiqued, just the same way as you being someone who's online should be able to either take critique or know how to deal with people that are in this internet space. That's just something that we've had to learn over the last 23 years since we've gotten cable as far as internet and whatnot has become more prevalent. But sticking to the main subject for David Jaffe kind of turning around, and also it seems to be a trend for a lot of people who were kind of down on the game maybe in the beginning. I know that David Jaffe was a little bit, and then as they continue to play the game, their experience changed. And that kind of harkens to one of the points that Todd Howard made previously to, hey, here's one of the main selling points that I think maybe people looked over. And this was when he said that the more that you give to the game, the more that it's going to give you in return. And from personal experience and from what I'm seeing from other people, that seems to be the common occurrence. So Starfield is very unique in that way for a lot of people, but there's also the opposite of the coin for people like myself who aren't those Bethesda players. I'm not the fan. I've been extremely critical about their past games. As much as I thought Skyrim was interesting, I've started that game 3 different times, 10 hours a piece, so about 30 hours of just doing the first intro, 10 hours of content. And kind of doing, exploring and doing whatever because of mods and everything else, trying to get a certain experience that I was looking for because I like playing more so in third person, those type of games. And as much as I thought it was interesting, I couldn't stick with it. Witcher is the same thing. I thought Witcher was extremely boring. The reason that I'm bringing these games up, because in my personal opinion, I don't understand how people found Starfield slow. And the main reason I say that is because comparatively to other games that also are new IPs that are trying to pull you into the world. I mean, again, no, this isn't GTA. No, this isn't where you're robbing a bank at the beginning of the game. Could they have done that? Sure. This isn't Cyberpunk, where you have your whole scene with Jackie and you have y'all good time at the beginning of the game. This isn't Mass Effect. As much as I may draw comparisons to that, it's not those things. I do, though, think that this game started off stronger than Skyrim, Fallout 4, the games that I have played did, to me, at least.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, oh, well, Skyrim, how does it compare to Skyrim? You got a dragon that literally, that didn't do anything. From that. That was so, because I'm not new to, maybe, and it could just be me, to high fantasy or just fantasy overall, introducing a dragon into the game, though, especially the way that Skyrim did it, was very like, it could have been expected in some way. Like, it's cool maybe that first time, but outside of that, the reason I'd say that it wasn't as strong as Starfield, because Starfield, that opening moment when they open the door and you see those guys at the bottom of the steps and you start that conversation, you kind of start to understand that the game is kind of vast because you see the backdrop, right? You're like, oh, damn, I'm on a planet. Like what is going on here? Like, I just came out of this mine. I made a character, walked out, and I came up this elevator. Now I'm talking to these guys and this great looking backdrop behind everything. And boom, before we know it, we're into a gunfight. And Serve makes a good reference too, is that this game is not a simulation game, which is another point that a lot of people are kind of holding on to, right?
Yes.
And I think people like David Jaffe, again, was also another one of those people, to where all the same people have kind of commented on the slowness of the game, the lacking qualities of maybe some of the NPCs, and other things of that nature that really bothered them. And now you're starting to see, as people have experienced the game, them turn around to say that, man, this game is actually much better than I thought it was going to be. And it actually elevated my impression. Now, for me, using David Jaffe as a reference point, again, everybody's is fair to change your critique over time and feel however you want to feel as you're playing, whatever experience. That's the point of it, right? I don't think that a game should take 10 hours to get good, or feel good, play good, any of that. I just don't believe in that. So for me, it's just when you see some of these reviews come out and that aren't consistent, again, sure, credence to the game, shout out to that, and shout out to the people that are playing these games, reviewing them. I just feel that there's a certain level of, not necessarily disingenuous nature, but more so, that's why beating games is important as a reviewer, so that you can critique the full breadth of the game, right? And for this one, it is also very difficult to do that. And this game was always going to have something to work against, because Bethesda games, typically, from what at least I know, are always trying to up that echelon, up that ante just a little bit more by having so many underlying systems kind of interweaving with each other, that maybe going into it, you thought it was going to be one thing, and then you actually play it, and you're like, oh, wow, this isn't simulation. This isn't what I was expecting maybe from somebody's, like a No Man's Sky. Maybe I can't do as much in these games. but look at everything else that I can do that these games don't do. So, and I think that's what people are seeing. It's just, I want people to, because Bethesda games typically are bigger games. You have to, everybody has kind of these separate experiences, and trying to mainline the game, like a lot of people were kind of referencing to do in the beginning, especially coming off the reviews or not, and whatnot. In this style of game, I think at least opens up the conversation of how maybe reviews should be treated. Maybe it is on, needs to be on a game by game basis, because everybody's experience is going to be different. If you're giving somebody a one of these open world Bethesda type games, or any game where you have more of a decision, even Baldur's Gate, and say, hey, I just need you to beat this game in X amount of time, and these people decide to mainline it and don't experience any of the other content, because boom, I don't know about you, but I know for me, I've probably done the main story mission 2, maybe 3 times. Outside of that, I've done maybe 2 or 3 missions for the main mission. Outside of that, I've been side questing it up with different factions.
Dude, I'm part of damn near every faction in the game. So, folks, if listen, and I just want to jump in for a hot second, Steele, and just I want to just add some more fuel to the fire that you're putting down. The side missions, some of them, and no spoilers here, folks. We're not going to ruin anyone's adventure. No, let's talk about it a couple of weeks from now, because we're going to be talking about Starfield on this channel for quite some time. Obviously, there's more news to come. ABK should be done in about a week, maybe in 8 or 9 days. That'll be done. We'll be back talking about that. Obviously, we're going to get into what happens now that they own Call of Duty and all of these studios. But some of these side quests, folks, I'm here to tell you. Now, I think I'm getting close to 70 hours myself.
Over 60.
Dude, I stayed up way too late as an old man. Oh my God. I can't do it like I used to, folks. So I'm taking care of the house, because Mrs. Boom, you know, when she comes home on the weekend after working all week, she's not supposed to do anything. That's what I do during the week, right? So I'm trying to incorporate, letting the bathroom soak, get over here and play for an hour, get back into the bathroom, clean it up. I think I'm getting close to like the 70 hours. And I got to tell you, folks, like Steel, I am just now starting to do main missions, where I only had 2 people in my party for freaking hours. And some of these side quests, like the Mantis quest, which everyone has been talking about, I finally did it. I got my ship. I got my legendary gear. I didn't use it because I look, if you see right now, the character that I'm rocking, that's a bounty hunter outfit. I think it's like 128, and it looks like Doomguy. So I don't think I'm changing it anytime soon. It looks freaking dope. That Mantis mission by itself, Steel, was really 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's been missions that I have done that have taken me and intertwined other faction missions. Yes. 4 mm-hmm. hours, folks. 4 or 5 hours on a side quest that I found. It is, Steel, I don't know what else to say, brother. This is just amazing.
Yeah, and again, I know that's not going to be for everybody, right? Where they're getting here, there's big YouTubers that are even that are saying that, man, this game is boring. Look at the lack of the detail. Look at this. Look at that. And again, talking about all the negative things.
I don't know what game they're playing.
And again, it's all going to be personal preference. This game isn't meant to be for everybody.
Right.
And I will continue, and I will say this up front: is this game perfect? H-E-double hockey stick. No, it is not.
No, there's no real perfect game. Maybe Hi-Fi Rush is probably the closest we could think.
Maybe all around, for sure. But what I mean by that, for everything that they got going on with this game, can I give this game so far, about 60 hours in, anything over an 8 because of the things that I've experienced, like the AI being extremely inconsistent? No. Like the any companion that I take out on a journey, except Andrea or Andresia, depending on how you want to say her name, where any other companion, AI is completely broken, running into the walls, bouncing all over the place, acting like they have something wrong with them internally, to the point to where if I turn around, it makes you want to comment on it. Like, really? Did somebody play this to see this? And then there's going to be people that I have watched, that I have seen, that don't have those issues, haven't experienced those things, don't take companions out. So they may not have those problems, right? So there's so many different things for me about this game. And again, I think as someone who typically doesn't play their games, again, the closest one was Elder Scrolls Online that I really threw myself into. And even that's an MMO. So it's like, that's still vastly different. But jumping into this game and just from the beginning, I don't know if it's the extraterrestrial nature of the game, if it's the science fiction of it, or if it's because it's based more of in that reality. This isn't a Halo. This isn't a Mass Effect. This isn't StarCraft. This isn't taking place in some far off year, right? I mean, yes, it's in the future, but it's in more of based in reality. Again, there's no major aliens in here, like humanoid aliens, I should say, that you run into or anything like that, at least from my experience thus far. So you're mainly dealing with humans. So it's like, for me, this is literally Bethesda's Mass Effect on every level. Even like, I understand people may be expected for this game to be completely open and everything be seamless and all these great things. But like, literally, let's ask ourselves, and I'm not, this isn't a, I'm trying to make up ground for the game or make excuses for it, because I don't give the game excuses for those things. But when a game is good at being a game, but in still need some things that need to be addressed, I don't think that that's a negative about the game. This is another one of those situations, for me at least, and I'll continue to stand on this point too, where people have to understand who they are as a gamer. Just because this game is big and it's the new hotness and all these great things, doesn't mean that you need to be playing it. Like, if you jump into it, it's in Game Pass, whether you did it through $1, $15, or you paid $35 to get into the early access for the game, as we're coming to find out, maybe, you know, about 1 million people did, 2 million people did, apparently.
We're gonna get into some of the numbers, man. It's
exactly crazy. Exactly. But when you have these type of people jumping into the game, there's obviously something is hitting, right? And again, every game isn't going to be for every gamer, and that should be perfectly fine as well. But we have to be able to talk about things objectively. And again, Bethesda deserves a smoke. Whatever smoke that they get about this negative controversy, whatever, yeah, you deserve it the same way that Halo did. Again, there's certain games that have to do literally everything right, or it's not going to be good enough. And just because this game has more depth to it, in my personal opinion, than No Man's Sky does, for as an example. Again, nothing taken away from that game. And the only reason I continue to bring that game up is because it's the main game that you can, that people, others from the outside. I'm not just talking about
a lot of people are trying to make one-to-one comparisons to it.
And it's really, everybody.
Really are two different games. Yeah.
I'm talking about everybody. And there's a lot of things that you can do in No Man's Sky that are great and fun. But all the things that were missing from No Man's Sky and that I can do in that game, I don't miss in Starfield at all. The seamless transition to like flying in between planets and all that, that's cool. It's cute in No Man's Sky. But after I do it for the 10th time, I'm asking myself, what am I really here for? Oh, to get exactly to the center of the universe? Okay, well, what else is here? What else is going to draw me into this world? Why should I build these bases? What other interesting characters can I meet? What level of depth in personality can I bring to my character? Can I mix and match my fit to really feel good about what I'm wearing? Maybe I take something that's a little weaker so I can still look a certain way like I am, because I'm all about that look personally.
Yeah. I can't be like mismatched, brother. The characters.
Yeah, I can't be mismatched either, but I got to be fly. But for me, it's just, this is a choose your own experience type of game. If you wanted to be mainline it. If you wanted to be, you know, you go different areas, do that. The main thing that I would tell people that are playing this game though, or thinking about it, pick a direction and go that way. Do not sit here and give yourself the excuse that you're lost and you don't know what to do. No. You have missions. You have gotten missions. You have talked to people. Just because everybody isn't offering you a mission doesn't mean that you don't have missions. Check your missions out. Pick a direction. Go that direction. and then just go from there.
It's a perfect example of what you're saying, Steele, right? Like right now, I had just finished a mission. I leveled up level 22 mm-hmm. and I'm in New Atlantis. So I do the scanner, mm-hmm. right? And obviously, you know, the commerce district, there's this, that, and everything. And there's this like this big wall that goes around New Atlantis. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know what? What's beyond this wall? And I start going and I start, you know, jetpacking here and I start scanning. So now I'm scanning plants. There's an achievement for 500 organic pickups. So now I'm like scanning trees and I'm picking berries and all kinds of crazy shit like that. And I notice in the distance, there's this humongous structure. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? This has been here. I'm finding this 60 something hours in. This has been here the whole time. All right, now I got to go check it out. Mm-hmm. I fought one of those creatures. I don't even know what they're called. The ones that invaded that are part of the story, like the big
xenomorphs. Yes,
I came across one, and the funny thing
it's
is
not a spoiler. Or
yeah, no, it's not a spoiler at all. It wasn't huge like the first one I fought, but it was pretty right. big. And I said, you know what? There's a bunch of Crimson Fleet over here that is fighting this thing. I let them do their business. And when the Crimson Fleet dudes were down, I shotted this because my shotgun is maxed out. I took this mm-hmm. thing down like maybe six or seven blasts, maybe a grenade or two. It's down, and then I go collect all the stuff. I keep moving forward, and I come across this abandoned pumping station. And it's loaded with shit. I mean, just I'm picking locks left, right, and center. I got a couple of exotics, a ton of pirates are there. I'm like, and then in the distance, there's another one. I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? That's when I was like, I'm gonna be late for the show. Let me pause it. Because I was just about to break into another safe. This is the game that just keeps giving. All I can say to what Steele had to say is that I'm gonna tell you this right now. If you are experiencing a Bethesda game for the first time, this might be a bit overwhelming.
Yeah,
because there is direction if you want to mainline, like Steve was saying, the mainline story, and that's awesome. But there is so much side content that intertwines with other things that you are going to miss if you don't do it. Real quick, who was it? Hargeet Chani mentioned it, and shout out to Hargeet, who obviously mm-hmm. is a part of Primetime Gaming. We had a great show last night. If you missed it, it's up on Google Play and all your RSS feed stuff, as well as YouTube. In this room that you get, this is your room, right? There's a safe. Folks, I'm here to tell you, and I didn't know this, Limitless Bottom.
Yes.
You can store your stuff until the cows mm-hmm. come home, and you can. I'm pretty sure you can sell directly from it. So if you're carrying stuff, like I'm always overloaded. I think I can only carry like 150 units or whatever it is. If you are constantly picking stuff up and you're trying to, you know, make your fortune by selling everything, including the kitchen sink, you could put it in there. No limit. So bottomless, which is great.
Well, I will say this though, Boom. I don't think that you can sell from it because it's not typically in the vicinity. Because in order to sell stuff, it has to be close
by,
right? So for an example, like your ship, if you have stuff on your ship, you can sell things from your ship. If you go to a vendor or whatever and start selling stuff, you could do it that way. So kind of the rotation that I have, and I'll give this advice too for people that are having some inventory issues, because I see that out there. That's one of people's biggest problems right now is the inventory. They're complaining, this is the most terrible inventory system. I think that it's better than Skyrim and Fallout 4 combined.
Yes, me too. I agree.
But that's me. For me, the inventory system, the kind of the way that you beat it, right? At least until you get a better ship. Or start getting some more cargo on your ship. And definitely you want to look at the very least adding cargo to your ship some point. It's only going to take you about 10 grand to add to your current ship some more cargo. So that's for anybody starting new. But what I would tell you is that overencumber yourself. The reason I say that is because you need to understand, because this game doesn't hold your hand, what is valuable and what is not. Yes. That first trek back to your ship, when you go out exploring and you find out that you cannot fast travel, is going to be a very telling experience. Because no, you don't have to stop moving completely to get your oxygen levels back once you use them completely, because you're over encumbered and even running normally exhausts you. But you can go, you can walk slowly and get that oxygen back. And then you're also working against the environment. But nonetheless, that first trek back will show you exactly, hey, maybe some of these things are more valuable than others. Hey, okay, maybe I'll put this stuff in my my cargo on my ship. Maybe even consider, if you're not somebody that takes a companion or whatever, because you feel like they mess up the experience for you, at least in the beginning, bring one with you to be your pack mule.
Yes.
Those companions are extremely useful for being a pack mule. Not only that, all with the issues that I have with the AI and it being extremely inconsistent, when I need the AI to cap a fool, they put some work in. Especially Andrea. Sarah's doing her thing too. She's nice with the gun, but they are dependable. They're good pack mules, and just get a feel for the things you need. You don't have to have all the extra food things that you find. You can focus on getting like med packs and things to that nature, but just be aware a lot of those things are going to be very kind of overbearing feeling, I should say, in the beginning. But outside of that, it's just a feeling early on. And I think it's intentional. I don't think it's the best thing, but I do think it's intentional to kind of get you to focus on, okay, let me look through my inventory. What do I really need and what do I not need? What's miscellaneous? Do I need any of this miscellaneous stuff? And I know no spoilers here, but the miscellaneous stuff, 9 times out of 10, ladies and gentlemen, you don't need, and it's just technical.
You don't need, and you don't even get a lot of money for it. Yeah, the prices really that they show you. Like, I just picked up some contraband, and they're worth like 15 grand a piece, and I'm like, shit. I haven't committed a crime in near 70 hours, because I just don't like being a bad guy. I'm a bounty hunter, but I'm not, I told the story last night about how Sarah, I got married earlier on, and then I killed someone that was a UC member, and she freaked out. Oh my God, this game is great. So obviously I reloaded my save. Save, folks. So real quick, I'm going to get to the Super Chats. Mm-hmm. We got some more stuff to get into. I want to welcome in some new names that I've never seen here before. Of course. So SSM UFC. Welcome to the channel. He says, system and subscription seller, massive moment in current gen, especially for Xbox. Indeed.
Yeah, I think
another
so.
New, mm-hmm. Another new name, NM156. Welcome to the program. They say, I don't like science fiction games, but I love Starfield. And shout out to Serve in the chat. Welcome as Serve. Well. My brother, Neo Mental, in here. He just... proclaimed that he is now up to his 10th ship that he has stolen. Good on you. Shout out to Gerald Mack. He said, I am absolutely loving this game. Cannot put it down. It is my new addiction. Yeah, it is my addiction for sure.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
So let me catch up on the Super Chats here. And we got quite a few of them. The first one today comes from our very good friend, Drawn TJ. Drops a very generous $5 Super Chat and says, hey, guys, I think this will be my favorite game. Phantasy Star Universe, which he had over 3,000 hours in. Yeah, I can see you getting down with this game, dude. And like I said, if you are someone that wants to see the horizon, what's next for Starfield, all you got to do is look at Kinda Funny's Greg Miller. Greg is one of my favorite hosts. I'm a big fan. I've been supporting Kinda Funny for years, and I will continue. I love everybody over there. I think it's just an amazing group of people that Greg has surrounded himself, and that's why Kinda Funny is so popular. He is now, from what I understand, on his third new game plus.
Yeah.
So this is the PlayStation dude. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes games come out, folks, that transcend everything. Console war BS, plastic box wars, and you focus on the game. Now, there are a lot of people trying to run narratives about, like someone did a mod, and I don't know if they did it in jest. Two particular mods jump off the page, and I will continue super chats in a second, but this is where I talk about it. It's just a bit of a head scratcher. Someone made a mod for PlayStation controls prompts,
which is fair. I mean, you can use a PlayStation controller on PC.
You can. So if if that is your bag and you want to use your PlayStation controller on PC, but see, that's fair. I agree with Steel. All right, so you like the DualSense. I love the DualSense. I don't just like it. I freaking love the DualSense.
I think your second one is the one that's more telling.
The second one is a bit. This is again. I don't know. I don't have the context for this, Steel. There's no context for this, folks. Someone made a mod that the game starts with the PlayStation Studios logo, yes. Like full on, like it's turning and it's the PlayStation music and it's presented by video. PlayStation Studios. And I'm like, wow, like that took a lot of effort, man. And I just played on Xbox, dude. Like, what are we doing, Steel?
I mean, that's one of those things that modders are going to do kind of anything. And people are, if there's one thing that I've learned about being in the tech field or just being involved in gaming, especially, or just anything that has like some form of competitive spirit in there, is that people are going to find a way to get whatever point across that they want to get across. And it's super easy to do in gaming, especially when you open things up to PC. Again, there's a reason why there's a lot of these games that come out. The first thing you see is a nudity mod, right? It's like, is it needed? Right. It's like, come on, man. Like what, really. Like, are we playing the game or are we just trying to watch all naked people? I personally don't get that. So needless to say, I don't use them, but for things like PlayStation startup logos and things like that and I will say it's not like it's something that's overly complicated. It's just a video file, unless they did some custom logo or whatever, that they're dragging and dropping and putting in place of the file that's already there. But just the fact that someone made sure that that was going to be available and that people are actually downloading it, because it does have a good amount of downloads. I just think it's hilarious. I mean, again, it shows the bias. It shows there are people. I know people think that it's crazy or that it doesn't exist. And again, for the people that feel like the console wars don't exist or biases don't exist or people don't go hard for the things that they like, that doesn't exist on a very toxic level. I need you to wake up from out of the matrix and really choose a pill, because Lord Jesus, people have been doing this for a long time. They're going to continue to do it. And it's just, it's corny behavior. But again, if that's what's going to help them enjoy the game more, again, you've already lined the pockets with the person or with the companies that you have a problem with. So doing it at this point, what does that do? Yeah. And if you got the game for free, shout out to the people that are not only pirates in Starfield, but pirates in real life. if you're a pirate and you downloaded the mod, you went through all the work to still play the game however you wanted to play the game, right? So
we thought we'd say it, just bring it up for jest. That's not a topic of discussion, but
it's fun.
It's just fun to talk about, because it's silliness at its best. Sith Lord drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, the best podcast that talks about Starfield sandwiches. Ooh. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. It's very kind of you to say. I've gotten a couple of sandwiches, but I'm disappointed. They've already had bites out of them, so I don't want them. You know what I'm saying? So I throw them away. I already even sold them. Because I was like, how did I get that? Why is it bitten? I didn't need it. I get that out of here. Nintendon the Otaku drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, I have played 70 hours now, the same as a certain IGN reviewer, and I couldn't fathom giving a review now. I have barely scratched the surface. Yeah, like I'm generating my review in progress. And again, a shout out to Bethesda Games Studios for recognizing Double Barrel Gaming. They have provided us with a code. Of course, I didn't get the early build. That's perfectly fine. But they did send me the $100 code to review the game, which I am currently doing and talking about on the socials. And I really just kind of want to put it out there that they did recognize the channel. That is a that's a big deal. That is a really, really big deal. And obviously, small announcement. I've already talked about it. This particular Monday's Xbox show, the Xbox Lunch Break Special, it is going to be our live stream of the Forza Motorsport coverage that I was invited by Microsoft 2 weeks ago to event in Manhattan. I got 2.5 hours of actual gameplay. And that's about all I can tell you. Tune in this Monday. I'm actually going to have my gameplay, which is sitting on this drive right here. And I have to turn around and take that drive. And I'm going to dump that drive onto my PC and put a video that's going to play. It's going to be my actual gameplay. I was able to play 2.5 hours. And you'll get my opinions on it. You'll get to see actual gameplay for the entire live stream that we're going to do. That show's normally around the, like 90 minutes. It'll be about 90 minutes. But the whole show is going to be dedicated to motorsport. Fuzzy Belvedere is obviously going to be joining us, and he is Mr. Motorsport, as you know. And we'll be getting his hot take on it as well. Thanks so much, Steel. Yeah, I'm very excited. I couldn't believe that I was there. It was an amazing experience, but I'll be able to talk more of it when my second embargo lifts September 11th at 12 p.m. ET when we go live. We have Highlander 001 drops a very generous $10 super chat and says, when Alana Pierce, Corey Barlog, and David Jaffe are playing and saying how great the game is, that is a sign of how great it is. This upsets the toxic ponies to no end. They just can't play nice. Yeah, I saw, first of all, shout out to Alana Pierce, who did a live stream where she took seven hours to fly to a planet. Now, of course, you know, she had to wake herself up, I think it was every half hour or something like that. But she flew to another planet nonstop. It took her 7 hours. And what she did is remove all of the BS about, you can't go for more than 10 minutes without hitting an invisible wall. Well, there you go. And again, Corey Barlog, I love Corey. I've had conversations with him on Twitter. That guy's legit. And he's a gamer, right? He, creator of God of War 2018, whatever he's working on now is probably going to be pretty freaking good. And if it's the space game that's been rumored, I can't wait to get into it. And it's great to see. What's a little disappointing is that, Phil and Sarah and, and Aaron, they get out there and they always congratulate Sony. No one from Sony, you didn't get a Jim Ryan out there saying, hey, congratulations on the release of this game, Bethesda and Xbox. Herman Holtz, I didn't see a tweet from him. It's a little disappointing, I'm going to be honest with you, because they... some people take this console war like legit war, and it's not. Most of these people are actually friends, but it's disappointing when you see Xbox putting out the olive branch, even after the way Jim Ryan and Sony acted during this whole ABK thing. They're in my opinion, they're just disgusting. I have lost all respect. And as a matter of fact, we're talking about it tomorrow on Breakfast at Boom. The cancel rate, folks. The cancel rate of PlayStation Plus is on a new level. I'm being one of them. I canceled my subscription today. I'm good until 128.24. They're not getting a dime from me at these prices. They're just not. But let me continue Super Chats. James Gibson drops a very generous $5 Super Chat and says, the real problem is gamers need to stop comparing new IPs to its predecessors to me. That is a bias, and it hurts the new games. I mean, yeah, I absolutely agree there. We also have Bando Fox drops a very generous $2 Super Chat and says, Starfield is fire. I got 20 hours in. Waiting for the CP 2077 DLC. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you're gonna do it.
Cyberpunk. Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to.
And listen, come on, it's Idris Elba. Dude is amazing. One of my favorite actors for sure. And he's in the game. And
yeah,
it's I don't know what Pong Soul is going to do with his life. He may just disappear and you never hear from Pong Soul
probably again.
Pixel Bit G. Wow, we got a lot of super chats here. Pixel Bit G drops a very generous $2 super chat. Pixel, salute, brother. He says No Man's Sky is a Starfield mini game. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I said this to my brother this morning. We were talking. The layers of this game, there are so many layers on top of each other. You ever seen, like, and I'm old, folks. I'm going to show my age here. A Dagwood sandwich. Like, it's from a comic strip. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Steel. It's like this thick, the sandwich, and it's just layered and lit. That's what Starfield is. And it's no matter where you bite, it's amazing. Right. Yeah. So, it's just enjoy yourself, play how you want to play. And that's why this game is going to be legendary. Gamer by Choice drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, so when you got divorced, did Sarah take half? Here's the thing. No, because when I killed that pilot, which I thought honestly was Crimson Fleet and wound up being UC, she freaked out. She booked out. And I reloaded my save and I saw the ship and I was like, okay, ship, see you later. I'm not stealing you. And I went back to my ship. Point of contention, folks. If you land on a planet, scan it. If you see something that says landing site, there's going to be a ship there. Now, whose ship that's going to be? Like, for instance, someone in the chat had asked where the ship that I'm on now, the black ship, where'd I get that from? I actually stole that from Space Zealots. They attacked me. Like, I just showed up onto one of the landing sites. They attacked me. And I was like, okay. So I gunned them down and the ship took off. I'm like, oh, reload the save. I snuck into the ship and a mission popped up. Kill all the Space Zealots, steal the ship. I'm like, okay, these are bad guys. I can do this. And I wiped out the crew. In fact, there was actually four people in the cockpit because the cockpit area is big. I threw two grenades, didn't even have to fire a shot, killed them all, and stole the ship, register it. Now you're seeing this is my ship, and I have upgraded this ship like six times already, and I'm ready to rock and roll in space. We also have Drawn TJ drops two additional $5 super chat and says, do the Freestar Ranger story. You will get the best ship in the game. It has 2,300 storage. I'm doing that Freestar Ranger story literally like right now. He says also in another $5 super chat, hey, is it true if you do a new game plus you lose your stuff? I don't know, dude.
Like, yeah, I can tell you about New Game Plus from what I know, yes, everything that you have done in your game is going to be completely reset outside of anything you've done to your character. So
you're talking about like your perks,
anything else, all that stuff carries over. Okay. But anything in the universe of Starfield is going to be reset. So again, I don't want to get into spoiler territory. I haven't beat the game, but I have seen the New Game Plus information there, and it is some spoilers to be had in there with how they've, which is makes me kind of more excited about the end of the game and their approach, right? If people have seen Interstellar, I know that's something that Todd Howard has mentioned before to be one of the motivation pieces for this game. But they tie a lot of different things together seemingly. So it's one of those things to where the one thing that I'll say is this: play this playthrough and get the most out of it that you want to get. Yep. Unless you just, for whatever reason, want to mainline it and then experience everything after, that's going to be completely up to you. I will say that it does seem as though New Game Plus can be interesting. But that's all that I can say. I don't want to give anybody else. I want this game to be out there and live for a bit before I give anybody else a reason. But the information is out there. Look it up to find out. But it's already been debunked. Don't rush your playthrough. play this out. Just take your time with it. Play it out.
Enjoy
you want,
it. Have,
and then go from there.
Have freaking fun. This is what drives me crazy, not only as a gamer, but as someone who's a part of the industry. Like, I'm not a media personnel. I'm a content creator. That's my title. But it bugs me out that somehow certain people lose the path of, we're supposed to, it's gaming. You're supposed to turn on a game, whatever game that is, whatever console it is, and it's supposed to put a smile on your face. It's supposed to take what shitty world this is sometimes and let it go in the rearview mirror, and you're just enjoying it. This game is one of those games that if you give it a chance, it's going to do things that you have never experienced in other games, unless, of course, you are a Bethesda diehard fan. Some of the side stuff, some of the stuff you just walk into, if you're walking through, like at New Atlantis, you hear someone, a story. Oh, Sarah is in big trouble. Her husband's missing, and a mission pops up. You press the start button, you lock that in, and be like, hey, Sarah, what's going on? My husband, he went for milk and he didn't come back, and I think he's dead. Okay, I'm going to go look for him. Now, is it going to be an epilogue kind of a story? No, it might just be a fetch quest. But the fact that you can just walk and that can pop up to you is just amazing on top of already everything you can do. Like, I didn't even see the dinosaur in the scope. I killed it from there. I was like, that thing is too big. I'm not messing with it. And I did shoot it. I got like 50 XP. So I'm like, all right, that's cool. Real quick, Maxi Komen drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, Alana Pierce works for PlayStation. Yes, she does. She actually works for the studio that brought us God of War. She said she did that to prove that it can't be done and that Bethesda was lying, and it backfired spectacularly. Did nobody see that? See, I don't know. Listen, if that's what you saw, then that's what you saw. Maybe I missed the memo. I thought she was doing it just to prove that you can do it. Maybe she did it to prove that you can't. I'm not exactly sure. But she flew 7 hours and got to a planet. So if she was trying to prove that Bethesda was lying, then that backfired. If she was trying to prove that it can be done, you know.
And like Serv was mentioning in the chat, and we were kind of going a little bit back and forth. He was like, she was trying to prove them wrong. He ended up finding out that it is reachable, right? That the space is actually moving. And that is a critique for me. Unfortunately, in Starfield, the space aspect of it doesn't feel believable as compared to all the other space games that have been out, unfortunately. When you get around objects, it does become more believable. But when it's just you and the planets in the background, the planets do feel fake in some ways, and that's unfortunate because it's so fun to be out in space, the way that your ship feels, especially looking at your custom ship once you have that, even if you slap some paint on it, right? Looking at that ship in third person, moving around, flying around asteroids and getting into dogfights with pirates or anybody else, it feels really good and intuitive. That it's wild that the weakest aspect of it, and it's mainly because, again, when you're a game that's trying to do so many different things and account, because that's the number one thing that I want the people have to remember too, is the game is accounting for literally everything going on within it. When it's doing all these things, I can give it some slack for not being the strongest game in space. I personally wasn't expecting this grandiose space simulator that we could all just live in, and then that was going to be it. What I was expecting was something more along the lines of Mass Effect, with a deep story in it, some side content that'll be really deep from what I've heard from other people that Bethesda has been pretty good at. That's what a lot of people typically recommend their games for. Not typically the main story because it's weaker compared to the other content, but this one seems to have all of that. And again, I want to reiterate, does this game have problems? Yes. Are they acceptable? It depends on who you are as a gamer. I think everything about this game is worth the conversation. I also think that this game should be up for Game of the Year because in comparison to many other games that have released this year, Name me another game that has as many systems and has you as deeply involved within its game or its story that has and released pretty feature complete day one.
Yeah, it's I mean, again, you listen, if you want to be a nitpicker and that's your bag,
then you're
good on you. That if that's how you roll, I ain't gonna fight you on it. But I'll tell you something right now. All you're going to do ultimately is spoil the milk. If you're going into this trying to be a hater, then just be a hater. What can I tell you? I mean, listen, I'm not here to sell you the game. I got the game, you know, to review from Bethesda, and I still bought the $300 collector's edition. So I'm in the bag. I bought the controller. I bought the headset. I'm in the bag, folks. I'm rocking the watch. Not so much right now, but I rock the watch on a daily basis. So, you know, it's... Be a hater. What can I tell you? Thanaros in the chat says, oh, shit. There are dinosaurs? Yes, there are, actually. That's actually, I don't know if I have
any. Yeah, I haven't even met a dinosaur.
Yeah, the one that I just killed on the planet. It was pretty big. And I was like, nope, I'm not messing with that up close and personal. I will take out the sniper rifle that does 90 damage per shot, and I will take it down from there. And that's exactly what I did. So. You know what? I want to pause this for a second. I'm going to pause the screen because I want to do a screen share. I want to bring up. Let me see. Now this is the Phil Spencer tweet, but I want to bring up a context because there are a subset of people, Steele, that want you folks to believe that this is a failure for Xbox, it's a failure for Bethesda. And I'm all about evidence, right? I'm all about bringing the documents to the conversation because, well, you know, pictures are worth 1,000 words. So let me just do a quick screen share and just show you how well this is doing. Take a look at this, folks. These are the scores. Now, this comes the way of Phil Spencer. I'll drop this down in a second, and I'll let you see his what he actually had to say. Look at these scores, folks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, there are a couple of people, you know, entities out there like IGN and GameSpot and PC Mag who gave it lower scores. I still disagree with the scores. I don't know what game that they're playing, especially when you read their reviews, which I did. I mean, read their reviews.
And again, that's another conversation I'm always interested to get into. And I'm not going to dive knee deep into it right now because I know it's a shorter show. But there's something to be said when a game is rated a 7. And again, 7 is not supposed to be a bad game. But my problem is when people make it seem like, oh, 7. Well, 7 is when they try to justify it.
Yeah.
And act like you haven't been part of the gaming community to the point that when you don't understand the perspective, the perspective that when people say 7, they mean that the game is average as hell. This is not, oh, well, you guys don't understand the number system. Oh, if it was a 5 or a 6, oh, then it would, that's average. No, let's stop with that cap. Let's stop with this is the disingenuous side of it. Let's stop with all that. A 7 means that the game is average. It has been that way since the 90s. If you saw a 7 on a game, you're like, ah, yeah, that game's okay. If you saw a 5, you didn't think average. You thought that the game was probably bad. Anything under a 7 is probably very questionable. Now, have we played games that are questionable and maybe under a 7 and found them great? Gosh darn right we have. But let's be real. That's why all these things need to be readjusted. Things have to change. The number scales need to change. How we look at games need to change. The review process needs to change because it's always going to be very one way or the other unless everybody agrees that it needs to be this score where people are going to go to these different sites, put whatever score that they want to and act like it's justified for whatever reason. But yeah, anyway, my fault.
Yeah, it is a disingenuous situation going on with these three particular entities. Look, there's a reason why they did this. They wanted clicks and engagement because this is going to be the biggest talked about game of the year.
Of course.
Take nothing away from Hogwarts. Take nothing away from Spider-Man 2. take nothing away from Baldur's Gate 3. No one's pulling any spotlight away from them. They all deserve it. Spider-Man 2 is going to be a masterclass achievement by Insomniac. I freaking can't wait. But there's something to be said about exactly the way Steel had put it down. And I would imagine that on Saturday's show with you and Pong, I cannot wait to tune in because I want to hear what Pong and you have to say regarding this disingenuous nature that has unfortunately enveloped Xbox, not PlayStation. Because I said this publicly, and I'll say it again. If this would have been, Steel, a PlayStation exclusive, as it was, as Sony was trying to do, this game would have been giving a 10 from all three of these entities because it was PlayStation. Those minus 3 points, I don't give a flying hoot nanny who you are. You ain't going to change my mind. Those 3 points are the Xbox tax that no one wants to admit that is real. And I'm here to tell you, believe what you want to believe, but if you're that believable, I will sell you a bridge here in New York City, and it's only going to cost you 10 grand, and I'll sign over the document.
That's not even fanboyism. That's just looking at the industry, being involved, being a fan, and knowing what has gone down since you. If you're a fan of gaming, you're very aware that there's always been this thing, and you can say that, oh, well, business should have been better on one side or the other, and oh, these people. There's a lot more behind the scenes, as we've come to find out from all the documentaries about gaming that we've been getting, and the behind the scenes conversations. There's a lot of eye opening moments to be had, man. That's why I always pride myself in that, taking that RTS view, man.
Well, you guys wear it on your sleeve and you keep it real, which is why I love your show. You and Pong bring it every week, and that's why I tune in every 10 o'clock. When 10 o'clock hits, I'm one of the first people waiting because I love what you guys do. Shout out to Brian Harris in the chat, good friend of the program, says it is the best game I have played in the last decade. And you know what? I can't argue, because right now all I want to do is play this game. Like, all I want to do is play this game. But with that said, Steel, we're almost out of time, because, you know, obviously this is a much shorter show. I want to bring up a tweet that comes the way of Peter Ovo. Now, if you're not following this dude, you probably should. Peter Ovo, right along with like Idle Sloth, who's a very good friend of mine, and Hazador Gaming. Like, these are three people on Twitter, on the socials, that I recommend wholeheartedly, because they're constantly and consistently putting out great stakes of information regarding gaming, whether that be PlayStation, whether that be Xbox, whether that be Nintendo. And Peter Ovo put out a tweet this morning. Now, again, he brings the stats, folks. He has the document stats. It is from a site that I have not heard of. Take this with a huge grain of salt. So, you know, again, go follow him. It's at Peter Ovo 5 on Twitter. And he says, according to Active Player, Steel, Starfield currently has three times as many players as Baldur's Gate 3 at 20.6 million versus 5.9 million. And he goes, I wonder how accurate these numbers are, but it's fun to see. And of course, he has the pictures there with all of the numbers, Baldur's Gate 3 versus Starfield. Now, again, take it with a grain of salt. All I can tell you is that this game is... It's going to have some numbers, folks. And, you know, obviously we learned, thanks to many people, including Hazador Gaming, that before the official launch, Steel, of Starfield, there were 1 million people that purchased it on Steam, and 1 million people on Xbox. Who purchased the $99 edition.
2 million people already.
2 million people before the game even went officially live. So obviously, I would imagine that Xbox is, you know, watching the numbers, and we're going to hear maybe as soon as next week exactly what they are. But you know what? Listen, folks. Again, this is a shorter show. We still have another show tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Obviously, Breakfast at Boom. We're going to be talking about some of the things that are going on. We are going to cover the egregious move by PlayStation to raise PlayStation Plus by $40. Mm. The fact mm-hmm. that people are leaving, like myself, and I got the documents, I put it out on the socials, I've gone, and not because I'm looking for console war, I'm not paying that. Like, I paid $120. You know what I got for this year? Ugats is what I got. Okay? So it's a waste of money to me. There were no day and date. Very rarely do you get a day and date, even a third party or an indie. Sea of Stars was in there, great, but they haven't done much this year. So my $120 was a big old waste of money, and they're not getting $160 from me. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into several people's opinions on Starfield. Like, we haven't heard from Dreadpool. We haven't heard from Web Dave. So we want to get their initial impressions, how far they've gotten, how many achievements. And of course, if something else happens, we will be talking about that. But Steele, any closing thoughts before we get on out of here about Starfield that you kind of like to put out there?
Closing thoughts about Starfield overall. The number one thing, and it's something I mentioned during the show, this game should be a testament to anybody out there who is a gamer. Just because there's hype out there doesn't mean that you have to play the game. Understand who you are as a gamer. Understand what your interests are. Understand what you like. Again, I'm not the Bethesda dude. I don't typically latch on to single player games because they are typically better later. Just like Starfield, it is going to be better later. And that is something that I will have to live with as a regret, because I don't play, not necessarily as a regret, because I take every playthrough that I play in any game exactly for what it is. But I'm not the person that typically replays games. Is Starfield going to be different in that? Who knows? I feel good about it right now. I'm 60 hours in. I'm having a supreme time with it. And again, it's not perfect. It is flawed. There's no excuse for some of the things that are in there. But is it a good game? Yes. And I would suggest that anybody that has interest, jump into Game Pass at bare minimum. Wherever you have access to it, try it out, check it out, see how you feel, and go from there. And if that doesn't do it for you, again, it's an option. There's too many ways to play all the different games that we're getting out, especially coming out the Xbox ecosystem, mainly because that's the path that they have chosen. Again, seems like the path of least resistance. People have said that, boom, you brought up some stats right there. And, 20 million people playing on day one, maybe that's not believable. What is believable, though, and it is hard facts, is that 2 million people have bought the premium edition of this game on Steam. That is $100 a pop. That's $10 million, dollars at least, bare minimum, before the game even released. Right. And then the same on Xbox. Yeah, it's going to be less because you're buying it for half the price. But these are people that are purchasing a product, and even more people as people stream it, as we see more information come out about it. We're living in a very interesting time. And I think this has been a really good start for Xbox's quote unquote avalanche. Let's see if they take advantage and continue to slide down that hill and use that momentum to bring that competition to the forefront that we've been asking for, right, Boom?
But that's really what it comes down to. Like you heard Todd Howard, Steele, you heard Phil Spencer mm-hmm. say confidently that this game was going to be the jumping off point for what Xbox fans have been asking for and are owed, right? As fans, mm-hmm. we have supported the brand. I hate to see the word owed. We are expecting. Like, as mm-hmm. Xbox fans, this is the quality type of game that we're expecting. When you look at this game, right, if you did not know that this was Starfield, if you did not know this was an Xbox exclusive, you could equate the graphics to being one of the PlayStation type of games. Oh, that over-the-shoulder, very detailed world, and this is an Xbox exclusive. Now, granted, yeah, of course it's on PC, sure, but, obviously it's not coming to PlayStation ever. And I got news for you folks. Newsflash. This, what you're seeing here, just imagine 5 years of development on top of that when Elder Scrolls 6 releases as a launch title for the next Xbox. That's mm-hmm. also not coming to PlayStation. I'm just saying, you might want to get an Xbox or play on your $5,000 rig that most people say that they own. Competition. Real quick, before we get on out of here, shout out to Ninja Squirrel. Back to the Starfield grind, everyone. Thanks so much, Ninja Squirrel, 130 for being here. Two more super chats just popped in. I want to get to those. Laburn 98 drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, media reports things differently when it's Xbox. Xbox title, Starfield receives mixed reviews. PlayStation title, Horizon Forbidden West receives great reviews. Yeah, 100%. There's no doubt about it. Like, I know there's a guy, some Harry Hung Low in the chat that doesn't believe Xbox tax. Well, you know what? If you are a Sony guy or gal, that's fine. You know, you're still welcome here. But if you think that we're just, you know, we're saying it just for rhetoric, I think you are not reading the room correctly. Gamer by Choice drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, it is not Xbox tax because taxes increase amount. There is an Xbox penalty. Now back to Starfield. I mean, work. LOL. Great show, guys. Yeah, my brother's having a problem with working at the same time as playing Starfield, like many of us. I work from home because I do the shows. I'm retired, so I can play Starfield. But, you know, you can't abandon your responsibilities, which I will not do. Listen, thank you so much for tuning into today's show. Again, usually 70, 75 minutes, you know, with the outro. Don't forget tomorrow. If you are new, folks, we are on the hunt for 14K. And we can get there if you consider subscribing to the channel. One click, if you want to be generous, you do it, click twice because you can hit the bell icon. So every time I do content, you know that it's live. I do the show. I do 5 shows a week, Monday through Friday, all different panels, all different shows, all great content. We don't use hate mongering to sell the brand. Otherwise, I'll quit the business. We come here. We talk about it. People need to be put on blast. We do it. People need to smoke. We give it. But we don't go out of our way to be evil, to be mean. And that's just not the kind of brand that this is. This is more of a PG-13 kind of a brand. If that's your bag, please consider subscribing. Of course, while you're here, please consider hitting the like button. We greatly appreciate it. Now we got to get to Steel. Steel, we got to sell your brand, brother. Ooh. You guys got to 1K a couple weeks ago. Congratulations. Yes, you did Thanks that you. Live on the air. I couldn't be happier that you guys hit this milestone. Now we got to move to 3K. Now we're on the hunt for
3K. Yeah, yeah.
So sell the brand of Living Split Screen. Where could people tune in each and every Saturday with you and your brother from another console? And I would imagine that this week's show is going to be Starfield filled.
Oh, yeah. Last week, we probably did almost, this past Saturday, I think we did almost 4 hours mainly about Starfield. So I think that this episode is going to be probably quite a bit of the same, well, along with some of the extra talk in there, because we definitely got to talk about everything, because we are home of that RTS view. That's that real-time strategy where you pull yourself out of the world, look at the darker crevices of the map, pull those resources so we can build up that foundation to reach 3 billion gamers. And that's on Living Split Screen every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern, and 3 p.m. UK time. And look, yeah, we're at over that 1K now. We're moving on up, as the saying goes. And we are on that road to 3K, ladies and gentlemen. Again, appreciate, again, you, Boom, for helping out with that, and everybody that's in the audience chat, for you guys coming out to check out Boom on a week-to-week basis, every day that he does, just 5 days a week. Boom's extremely consistent, one of the hardest working dudes to do it.
Thank you, sir.
Keeps his information straight. So, but with that said, other than that, you can find me, Steel Rain. I have started trying to remove the eyes from my name just to make it easier for people to consume. So that's Steel Rain. The T is a 7 everywhere. It still should pop up. Google. It's been working. So other than that, I frequent the streets of Twitter and the Xbox ecosystem because it's just so seamless to go from PC to Xbox and everywhere in between. So y'all stay safe out there. Much love. Hopefully the guys are walking with y'all, and appreciate you guys coming out. Thank you, Boom, for having me on.
Thank you, brother, for joining me. It's always great to have you here. Shout out to Smokey in the chat, a good friend of the program. I'm trying to get to everyone. When it's a little smaller panel, it's a little difficult. But if I missed you, I apologize. I try to, my thing, like, it's one of my things. It's like I like to try and message everybody individually. Trolls and everything. Trolls even get a welcome. You know, that's who I am. But shout out to everybody. Thank you so much for all of the super chats. We had 13 of them today. I cannot thank you enough for the generosity. that continues to help push forward Double Barrel Gaming. And at the end of this month, I'll be turning 53. And as we've done for five consecutive years, this will be our sixth year concurrent, we are giving away $500 on one show. It's usually done on Breakfast with Boom. It's my birthday, but it's going to be you guys and gals will get the prizes. We're going to give away, again, $500 worth of prizes. It's probably going to be all digital items, obviously. And one of the things that we do that many channels do not, and I do like to say this, is that we recognize people outside of the Americas. So if you're in South Africa, if you are in England, if you are in anywhere outside of this country, you win the prize, you're in the chat, we're going to get you that prize, even if it means paying the extra denomination if your country's money is worth more and the transfer fee. The only caveat, folks, is that Mrs. Boom and I will only send money using PayPal. So you have to get a PayPal. We do not use any money apps because that's when scams come in. PayPal is secure and we're protected. So if you are outside of the country and you win, we will get you your prize and you do not pay a dime. If you win, you actually win. And we have another $500 contest or giveaway, if you will, happening on November for Mrs. Boom's birthday bash, the first week of November. And the big one, folks, is at the end of the year, as we've done for now, this is going to be our sixth concurrent year of doing this. And the money has gone up ever since. This is the most we've ever given away in one show. We're giving away $1,500 in 2 hours. And if you are a channel member, you get an extra entry. If you drop a super chat, you get an extra entry. If you are in the chat, you are automatically registered to win one of those prizes. We don't know what the denominations are. They're not going to be just only $50 gift cards because they will be here for a month. There's going to be a couple of big ones in there, folks. Maybe even it's somewhere upwards of the $200 range. We may give away two of those and then do a couple of $100 and then do a couple of 50s on the back end of that. It's our way, Mrs. Boomstick and I, our way of giving back to the community that has given so much to us, not only with the subs, not only with the likes and the kind words, but of course, supporting the channel monetarily wise through channel membership and, of course, the super chats that continue to come in. Of course, I'm going to close out the show, Steele, with something that's incredibly important to me. Hopefully, one day, it'll be important to you, and that's something that my dad taught me with kids, and he'd say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, Craig. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So enjoy Starfield, folks. Again, enjoy gaming on whatever console you enjoy gaming. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of X-Vlog Live.